The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
All right, baby. Advanced stats, expert analysis. I shouldn't say that as if we don't have expert analysis on the other shows. We're still working. Like, we've got the name of the show, Beyond the Box Score. Now I'm working on the tagline. So we'll get that for next week. Welcome, everybody, to a Monday afternoon edition of Fantasy Football Today. We do things a little bit differently on Monday afternoon. We look at snap counts, third downs, blitzes, things that I don't even know what we're going to talk about. Because Jacob and Dan are going to surprise me with some things. I've started to get into first down run and pass percentage inspired by Jacob Gibbs. Yeah. Jacob, you are wearing a Mortal Kombat shirt. Who's your character if you're playing Mortal Kombat? Who you fight with?
His name is actually Nightwolf, and he's not in a lot of the new games. But otherwise, I'm going with Scorpion, of course.
Oh, over Sub-Zero.
Get over here. Yeah.
Okay, come here. I know that's Sub-Zero. Schneier, what film you been grinding on today, other than the Giants?
Well, I started with some Giants tape, and now all good on that. Started with some Giants tape, and then I started watching the Bengals because I'm trying to figure out, this has been my biggest surprise of the season. This Bengals offensive line, despite the additions they made, big time additions too. I mean, Lyle Collins was one of the best right tackles in the NFL last year. They're struggling, and it's not like teams are blitzing them. So I'm trying to figure out and get to the bottom of that and see if that's something that will change fast so fantasy managers can buy low here on some Bengals, or if it could be an issue all year to the point where I don't want to suggest that moving forward.
Okay, well, let's talk about Sunday Night Football. That was one of the – I did go and review every throw that Justin Fields made, all 11 of them. It didn't take long. What's going on with Darnell Mooney? I mean, Justin Fields is really missing on some big opportunities. He did not play well on Sunday night. I saw a few plays where he could have had huge gains, including the first throw he made was on a flea flicker. Right. And he got a 30-yard gain to EQ St. Brown. And if he had just looked at Darnell Mooney, if he had a split second more, Darnell Mooney was wide open, 55-yard touchdown with a good throw. But anyway, Dan, what are your major takeaways from Green Bay 27 and Chicago 10?
Well, I think that's the major takeaway. It's not just the missed opportunities from Fields for me. It's this is the exact thing that happens. It plays out every time. We act like it's not going to happen. But when you field an offensive line like the Bears tried to field this season, and if you look across the board at all five of those positions, a case can be made, especially after they gave up Daniels in free agency last offseason, which, again, I just never understood. A case can be made. They don't really have anyone who would be starting on an NFL roster right now. I mean, that's a bit of an exaggeration. I haven't looked at some of these desperate situations across the NFL, but they at least don't have anyone who would be considered a plus starter right now on that offensive line. And yes, Fields left some throws on the field. No pun intended there. But at the same time, it's very hard to play behind an offensive line like this because you lose confidence as a quarterback. You rush your entire process up. You speed that up post and pre-snap. And I just think this isn't going to get any better this year. They don't have anyone to get excited about on this offensive line.
Of course, it will. I mean, literally, it will get better. You know, he's not going to throw 11 passes.
His stats will get better, but I don't think the offensive line will get better.
To be honest with you, I was pretty impressed with their line in the run game. I mean, they were really plowing through
they can run block
the Packers. I was surprised by that. But Jacob, I mean, are we pretty much just done starting the Bears? I mean, Montgomery was started in only 64% of leagues, and of course, he goes off for 136 total yards. You know, but like Mooney and Kmet, there's no way I can trust them. Are we dropping them? Like, where are you on the Bears, Jacob?
I'm fine dropping Kmet if you need to. You're definitely not dropping Mooney. And really, I would prefer to wait and see with both of them. We have a larger sample size of them drawing fantasy relevant volume, even in a really, you know, dysfunctional offense last year. So yeah, it's going to get better. So I would prefer not to drop them. But yeah, I agree with what Dan said. The offensive line is really a problem right now. They did run the ball well against Green Bay, but that's pretty easy to do. I'm pretty worried about the Bears. I'm definitely taking a wait and see and like not starting any of them next week, except for Montgomery if I have to.
Okay. On the Packers side of the ball, Jacob, give me your big takeaways from the Packers. They just, you know, played a pretty conservative game. They had the ball for 37 minutes and 15 seconds. Aaron Rodgers scored 20 fantasy points on only 25 pass attempts. Aaron Jones was a monster. A.J. Dillon had his chances but didn't really have a good game, and he had a fumble, but he had 19 touches. And then no receiver had more than 4 targets. That stood out. So, Jacob, give me your thoughts on the Packers real quick.
Yeah, it's really spread out, like you mentioned, with the targets not really reaching high for any of those players. They were, you know, getting the rookies on the field, trying to get Christian Watson involved a little bit on end around stuff like that. That was exciting to see. I thought they might roll with just, you know, the three old guys for a while here, but they're already keeping those guys involved, which is dope. For the running backs, yeah, what we've seen from Aaron Jones is super, super exciting. Back-to-back weeks now that they've moved him outside of the backfield a lot. And I think it's definitely already like led to improvement in his route involvement rate. And I think that that's going to lead to more targets over a larger sample size. So I'm super, super stoked for him. And he looked great as a rusher, which he always does. But yeah, outside of that, nothing really stood out. It's about what we expect with Dylan, just low efficiency on this one, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was a really run heavy game. You know, I don't know what to make of Dylan. I think he's basically going to, I like him. I still like him a lot. He's going to be a big part of the offense. There's no question. And when they have the right matchup, when they're going to win a game, I don't know what to think next week at Tampa Bay. That's going to be a really interesting one. Yeah. I think they're hopefully going to have to throw them all, although Tampa Bay, not going to have Mike Evans, probably not going to have Chris Godwin, don't know about Julio Jones, so maybe this is just a running game. I don't know. But, you know, Dylan, look, he's probably a good start, not a great start, so we won't spend too much time on him. Alan Lazard, though, I was really disappointed, Dan. He ran the most routes. Let me see if I have the Green Bay routes were 26 for Lazard, and the next most after that was Sammy Watkins with 18, Aaron Jones with 18. So he played the most, he ran the most routes, scored a touchdown. Do you think he gets more of a true number one role going forward, or is it going to stay spread out?
So on the positive side, when it comes to, obviously, looking forward with Alan Lazard, he's their best blocking receiver, and this is a team that is going to want to run, especially on the perimeter. That's where they can run best with Aaron Jones, so that's good. It'll keep him on the field, but I don't really see him evolving into what you just mentioned, any kind of true target hog, any kind of true number one here, not only just based on the rotation they're using, but also he just doesn't command targets. He never has in his career. I still think he has a chance to like round out into wide receiver three range, just because I think the red zone role will eventually be there for him, and he's going to get up close to double digit touchdowns when all is said and done after 17 games. But I can't view him as anything more than a back end wide receiver three right now.
All right. Yeah, I'm more optimistic just because I was more optimistic, and hopefully this game is not a sign of things to come for Alan Lazard. But, you know, not a great start. 3 targets. No. And like I said, nobody had more than 4 targets. It was very, very evenly distributed. But there was a game. Oh, the Chargers game was like that in week one. Remember? Nobody had more than 4 targets for the Chargers. And that changed completely with Mike Williams in week 2.
Agreed. But the problem is, like, Williams commands targets. He wins at all 3 levels. I'm not sure there's any level Alan Lazard wins at, except for when they line him up out of the slot and just give him a quick 2-way go, like quick in or outbreaker. So
yeah,
I just feel like he doesn't command the targets.
He's not Mike Williams. I'm not saying that, but
yeah, no, I know that. I know you're.
It's just a lesson of let's see what happens next week.
No overreactions. Right. Is the lesson.
Hey, send us a 5-star review. Give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It is a great way to get your questions read on the air, especially on our mailbag show. On Fridays, we record them. On Saturday, it publishes in the podcast feed. So go to Apple Podcasts, find Fantasy Football Today, leave us a 5-star review, and please put a comment in there, not just a question, but a comment on why you like the show. This is something that helps our show grow, get more eyeballs on it, and we'd really appreciate it. And then you can ask a question. And I don't read all of them, but I try to read a decent amount of them on the show. I certainly, you know, the ratio of like Apple Podcast questions that get read on the show compared to emails that get read on the show, much higher for Apple Podcasts. You can also send us an email, though. I respond to a lot of those at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. And I love hearing from all of you as well. Injuries, news, and notes. Trey Lance broke his ankle. He is out for the season. We know that. And, boy, what do you guys think about picking up Kenny Pickett right now? would Kenny Pickett be better than Marcus Mariota and Jimmy Garoppolo if he got the job? Jacob Gibbs?
I don't know about Mariota, just because the rushing is exciting there. But yeah, I think it, especially if you just need to, you know, take a swing for the fences type of pickup, Pickett is very exciting. The, you know, wide receiver group there is awesome. And Pat Freiermuth has had really encouraging underlying per route data through the first two games as well. So like, he's really got a full like ensemble of weapons there. Yeah, I think he's worth a pickup because Trubisky has not looked good.
All right, yeah, Superflex leagues, if you're desperate right now, a lot of people are, you know, Dak's struggling, Dak's out, maybe not all that much longer. Dak could be back in week four, perhaps week five is more realistic.
Jerry Jones was saying he might be back for week three, which is crazy.
I thought I just saw that is not happening.
Okay, no, I knew that was always going to be a long shot.
I want to make sure I'm not wrong about that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Steven Jones said that Dak Prescott will not play in week three. Could be week four or five.
All right.
Okay. You know, the injury news, not going to lie, other than Trey Lance, not that bad in week two. Well,
yeah, Jerry Jeudy seems to be with day-to-day, which is great news.
James Conner's ankle injury is not serious.
Yep.
So we'll see how, you know, he might not. I don't know if he'll play this week, but at least it's not a serious thing. Mike Evans does have the one-game suspension. Probably not going to start Tom Brady against the Packers. See if Godwin plays. Jameis Winston, you know, this is something, Dan, that I'm really excited about Michael Thomas. I had him as a winner on FFT today on HQ. But Jameis Winston is playing with these fractures in his back, and I wonder if we should be considering that when we evaluate Michael Thomas, Chris Olave, et cetera.
Maybe. I mean, what we heard is he can't do any further damage to it. It didn't look like he was playing his best football yesterday, but at the same time, like you mentioned earlier, it's a really tough matchup right now against this Bucs D. They're rolling with Todd Bowles. And I think the even more interesting thing about yesterday was actually Chris Olave, who generated an absurd number of air yards, and in that game just looked like potentially a player who could, I don't want to say like be a league winner down the stretch, but these rookies who tend to break out at the end do generate a lot of air yards, do generate a lot of opportunities. I'm sure Jacob has a few extra stats on this one because it's escaping me now. But did you see some of the stuff that Olave was able to do yesterday, Jacob?
Yeah, it was super exciting for Olave. It was historic in terms of the amount of air yards that he demanded for someone that young.
Well, Jacob, what about the rookie wide receivers in general? Because I know you study them a lot coming out of college and the types of routes they run and how it's going to translate to the NFL. And so far, London, Dotson, Olave...
Yeah.
Who am I forgetting? Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson leads the NFL in red zone and green zone targets. Wow. He had 5 red zone targets, I think, in week two alone. It's a great first round of wide receivers so far.
Yeah, it's been like unbelievably encouraging. Garrett Wilson looks like he just can't be covered out there. And like I've been tweeting, you know, all the usage stats from week two. And you'll see Drake London and Garrett Wilson up at the top of the leaderboards in almost every single stat. For them to be doing this already is really pretty unprecedented, especially considering they're both going into offenses that have, you know, what we thought were target hogs in Elijah Moore and Kyle Pitts. And so far it has not looked that way at all. And also, especially for London, the matchups have not been easy. And this past week for Garrett Wilson was not an easy matchup either against Cleveland. We just saw Cleveland, you know, shut down DJ Moore in week one, and then Garrett Wilson just gets whatever he wants against them. Just it really doesn't get much better than this for a start to a rookie career, especially with, you know, top 10 picks that had really exciting collegiate data as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he's the top waiver wire priority for a lot of you, because it doesn't look like the Cardinals backfield right now is one that you're necessarily going to want to dip into. Hopefully Connor can come back soon, and even if he doesn't, it's not the most exciting picture. But we'll tell you more about the split in the snaps between Darrell Williams and Eno Benjamin and what we learn in just a bit. But Garrett Wilson's still available in about half our leagues, and that needs to change. Dalton Schultz has a knee injury. I don't get the sense that he's going to play in week three, but it's not a serious injury. It doesn't look like Dalton Schultz is going to go on IR. Michael Gallup also, he could be back this week. but he would likely be on a snap count. We're going to check on Damian Harris's knee. I haven't seen anything on that. Hunter Renfrow was evaluated for concussion, and that will pretty much, we have a lot of news, but I'll leave it at that because a lot of it's like offensive line and defensive backs and things like that. Jadeveon Clowney, though, is not going to play this week. They have a Thursday game. All right, let's get into some advanced stats here, guys. Anything you want. You know, it's the floor is yours, Jacob. You can go with snap shares, usage rates, whatever you want to focus on. What do we need to know beyond the box score?
We've already hit on like some of the most exciting guys from this week with these rookie receivers. One guy to definitely point out is Amon-Ra St. Brown, and I would also throw Jalen Waddle in there. These guys are pretty obvious, but like I just want to emphasize how ridiculous what they're doing is. So since week 13 of last year, Amon-Ra is just the guy. Like it's him and Cooper Kupp at 225 and 211 fantasy points. The next closest is 165. Wow. He's been targeted on 34% of his routes, which is the highest of any player during that time. Last year, the league leader was 31.5%, I believe. He's at 34. He's just dominating. And like he's not only sustaining what we saw last year with DeAndre Swift and Hockenson off the field, he's elevating that with them on the field. Like he is being targeted at a way higher rate on first downs than we saw last year, which is really important. Those worth 20% more PPR points, and they just indicate that the team is trying to get the guy the ball. That's the big change that I've noticed with ASB is that last year he was kind of the no one is open. Jared Goff just is going to go to
ASB. Did you just curse?
Am I allowed to do that?
Oh, no, I don't think you are. I have got to. Wow. Okay.
I think that's my first one. That's my bad. Just let it slip. Okay. Nobody's open. I'm just throwing it to ASB because he's probably open. This year, it's like we're getting the ball in his hands. He, like first downs, we're going to him every single time. It's really, really exciting what we've seen from him. And then Waddle, I think I hit it in last week. It's just the route depth increase. His route depth is 40% deeper than it was last year. His average per target is 30% deeper. And we saw him, you know, just pile up the air yards and targets in week two. And it's just like defenses can't focus on either one of these guys. They're going to keep dominating.
Yeah, they're going to keep bleeping dominating, right? Am I right?
Adam runs a tight ship here, Jacob. You expect to receive a bar of soap in the mail. You'll be expected on your own time to wash your mouth out.
I get excited about the sun god. I'm sorry.
I respect it.
Yeah. How about you, Dan? Anything jump out at you?
So I'll go with the three games I've seen so far on the All-22, looking back on True Media. And a couple of these I did watch on the game replay as well, so mixed in a bit of both, whatever I had time for. The first one will be the Dolphins. I think there's a non-zero chance here that Mike McDaniel is the next Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, whatever you want to call it, offensive guy to come in and just really take the league by storm with his schemes and with his ability to create easy separation for his wide receivers. Yes, it helps when you have Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, but if you look at some of the things they did schematically, really playing perfectly to Tua's skill set, and also at the same time threatening the opposing defense with just an insane amount of horizontal spacing. Like they made the Raven Tua and McDaniel made the Ravens cover insane amount of ground yesterday, and I think he's going to continue to do that to teams, McDaniel. And I now feel like this offense has a lot bigger, higher of a ceiling than I thought going into the season. That's something where it is a buy high if you're going to buy now. I don't mind it. I don't mind buying high on Tua in super flex leagues. I'd love to buy high on him right now. And really, I think it will keep up for both of those two receivers as well. Another takeaway I had, again, from that Bengals game earlier is, look, there are real big issues right now with this Bengals offensive line. Some people say it's because they didn't play together in the preseason. There's new guys. Continuity is always a factor when it comes to evaluating offensive line play. But they're losing one-on-one battles. It's not an issue of them getting out-schemed right now with blitzes by the opposing defensive coordinators leading to free rushers. They're losing one-on-ones. And ultimately, I've always kind of felt like Taylor was a fake Sharp as a coach. I'll be honest with you. I never really liked him. I'm sure Jacob might hold the same opinion based on that laugh, but I felt like he's a fake Sharp. He made the Super Bowl. Good. God bless. Good for you. Joe Burrow was on a heater. Chase was on a heater. Lou Anarumo ran a really good defense last year for them schematically. But so I'm kind of not in the buy high for the Bengals. I'm almost in the maybe sell low or hold at best there. And the final thing is the Panthers, man. Ben McAdoo is running one of the least creative and worst schematic offenses I've seen there. They failed to get Christian McCaffrey. It doesn't look like they have any kind of plan for utilizing Christian McCaffrey's skill set in the passing game. So that scares the hell out of me with Christian McCaffrey. Baker Mayfield is terrible under pressure. His ball placement, even when he wasn't under pressure, was bad. He was not playing the position well at all.
And he's always under pressure.
What'd you say?
He's always under pressure.
He was always under pressure a lot in that game based on the game plan. But, I mean, look, he's not somebody who I think can dig them out of situations where he's forced to go off platform and make all these kinds of throws. And I just feel like that offense reminded me a lot of the Ben McAdoo offense in his final days with the Giants. Just nothing schemed up, trying to win with quick game and one-on-ones in the same personnel packages. So I'm not feeling good about my Christian McCaffrey share right now, I'll be honest.
I guess I'll just, I mean, I'll just disagree on the Bengals specifically. Okay. I trust they're going to figure it out. It's sloppy. They had a bad offensive line last year, and they still were plenty productive. Joe Mixon was a top five running back. T. Higgins was good when he played.
Right.
Ja'Marr Chase was a top six or something. I don't remember where he finished. Top six wide receiver. They just have too much talent to me. I think they'll figure it out, and I've been shocked at how poorly the line has been playing. I can't imagine they have anywhere to go but up right now. So,
right.
Yeah, I do feel like if they do play this poorly up front, then it is going to be a long season and it's going to be frustrating. But if they get it together or at least just be average, then I think the Bengals will turn things around. The Panthers have no identity right now. I just don't know what kind of team they want to be, why they're throwing to Shai Smith so much. You talk about Ben McAdoo, but he might be head coach. He might be interim head coach Ben McAdoo.
Yeah, that's bad for them.
Yeah, so I don't know who they turn to, but they're lost. However, McCaffrey is still so involved in getting so many touches that the worst case scenario, in my opinion, would be McCaffrey would perform like a low like a 12th overall player, not
sure.
Second or third overall player. He may not win you the league, but I don't think he's going to lose you the league. I'd say you agree with that.
So long as he stays healthy, yes,
course,
I agree with that. You expect him to scheme out a passing role for him every week. That should be the focal point. So it's just interesting to see there. And one more thing on the Bengals point, I think this has not been said. After watching the tape, you can kind of see this. Burrow's not playing at the same level he played at last year. Maybe that's because of missed time in the offseason with the surgery and no preseason snaps, all the things we've talked about. But this is not all on the offensive line. There are some sacks that he took that were on the quarterback. And in general, he just doesn't look to be playing at that same clicking like rhythm level he was at last year. And he'll get there. That I feel more confident in.
All right. I want to go through some. Go ahead, Jacob.
I was going to say on CMC, his route involvement rate was down a little bit this week, and it was down just a little bit in week one, but it was more pronounced this week. Only ran around on 24 of 36 dropbacks, which is still good, but is not what we're used to with CMC and yep. Could be a problem.
Well, I mean, when you are scouting a team and you see they gave up two touchdown catches to Dontrell Hilliard in week one, easy ones, right? Was it two or was it one?
Two.
It was two. Right? Like, how do you not take advantage of that with Christian McCaffrey? Right. It makes no sense. All right, some snap shares, some third down stuff. Javonte Williams, this was a very encouraging game for Javonte Williams. You hope it continues, but you can't guarantee that it will. He had six red zone snaps. Melvin Gordon had one. Javonte had six goal-to-go carries or snaps, I think. Melvin Gordon had zero. In week one, it was pretty much even. They both had five goal to go snaps, not carries, snaps. It was all Javonte in week two. Here were your leaders in third down snaps. Jacob, tell me what stands out to you. Your leaders in third down snaps at the running back position. Fournette, Barkley, McKissick, McCaffrey, Swift, Ramondre Stevenson. He had 11 compared to 7 for Damian Harris. Darrell Williams had 10 third down snaps compared to 1 for Eno Benjamin. Eckler, Kareem Hunt, McKinnon. I said McKissick earlier. Both of them are on there. Jeff Wilson, Rex Burkhead, Amir Abdullah, Najee Harris, Travis Etienne. We probably passed the ones that really matter. But what stood out to you, third down snap leaders?
Ramondre, you definitely hit on that. That is important. He did not have a great game, but his usage was exciting. He was on the field a lot. And so if he's going to be in that role, I think that we've got a small sample size of him drawing targets at a pretty high rate at the collegiate level and as a rookie. And I would expect it to be much more productive than we saw last week. I think Jerry McKinnon is really important to point out, too, because people are really excited about Clyde because he had the touchdowns week one. Week two, he had the big run. He looked really explosive, which we haven't seen in a while. But, like, the usage is still not there, and the snaps aren't there. And he's coming off the field on passing downs all the time, and it just seems like it's unsustainable. Like, last week was there wasn't touchdowns, but it was almost a best case outcome for Clyde with that usage. And it wasn't that great. He had like 15 points or something. Like if McKinnon is going to retain that role, that's going to be a problem for CEH.
Michael Carter is clearly the passing downs guy. He ran a ton of routes. What do you got there?
I've got a good one on the Jets. Breece Hall basically lost his passing down work to Ty Johnson. If you wonder, like, why did Breece Hall go from 10 targets to one or whatever it was, like, he wasn't playing. He ran eight routes.
So
he had like a 26%.
I can't make sense of that one.
Pick a running back. Pick a Jets running back rest of season.
Breece Hall.
Yeah, it's still Breece Hall for me, too.
All right. First half,
I'm looking to win championships down the stretch run. I don't care about what's going to happen now. The few points Carter can get for the time being.
Yeah, Carter's not bad, though. That's the thing. It's like
He's not a bad player. He's a good talent.
It's definitely possible that Carter is the right answer, though, because if this persists, if they don't like Breece Hall on passing downs, then like he may never get a three-down role. Whereas like if Breece Hall gets injured, Michael Carter could actually play a three-down role. We saw him in it last year, and he was really good.
Yeah. Okay. Daryl Williams, I gave you one snap. One stat about the third down. Snaps was all Daryl Williams, not Eno Benjamin. Well, also, Daryl Williams, according to Dave, had 10 of 10 snaps inside the 10-yard line. So if you're trying to decide which running back do I want in that Cardinals backfield, Daryl Williams was more involved in the passing game. He ran more routes. I want to make sure about that. He ran 22 routes. He ran 22. So this is interesting. Daryl Williams was on the field for the third downs. Yet they ran the same amount of routes in the second half, 22 to 21.
They got Eno out of the backfield quite a bit. 15% of his snaps came in the slot.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was actually 17-17 in the second half. They both ran 17 routes in the second half, but they were down 20 to nothing. So they're obviously going to be throwing a lot. But Williams was the third down guy, and he was the green zone guy inside the 10-yard line. Michael Thomas only played 76% of the snaps. That did lead all Saints wide receivers. But do you think we can get Michael Thomas up to like 90% of the snaps? Or what? That'd be nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Anything I'm missing here?
I would just say that Thomas's average route depth is way up from what we've seen in the past. They're using him downfield way more.
Yep.
And they're kind of using Landry in the underneath role. And he's done well when running those types of routes throughout his career, and he's continued to get better. And if you look at his route tree, it's changed drastically. I tweeted this in week one, kind of a joke. He ran like 2% of his routes were slants in week one. And his go route was up to like 35% or something. And when it was normally like 16, 17%, he's like running a completely different route tree. I'm really excited to dig into week two. I haven't looked at it yet, but with his route depth being 11 yards again, I assume it was pretty much the same.
All right, guys, we'll take a break. When we come back, we've got five big topics. Everyone in the chat is freaking out about the Denver Broncos. Do we share your concerns? We'll talk about Russell Wilson. We'll talk about Tom Brady and a very different look to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense through two games post Bruce Arians. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
Welcome back. It is time for five big topics. These are from our listeners. We thank you very much. Topic number one is from John Rodriguez. After 2 weeks, are there any stats or data that suggest who the next breakout guy is? Who would they bet would be the next guy?
I think Jacob already nailed this one. I think he's going to agree when I say it's Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah, I think he's already there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's technicality.
I think we've also we've hit on Drake London.
Would you say Adam? That's not a fair. I mean, no, it's technicality.
I mean, he is
Drake,
our. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm okay. I'm not quite there yet with Amon Ra St. Okay. I definitely he's a must start. He's the man. I wish I had drafted him more. I suck for not drafting him more. I pointed it out before the show. I pointed it out before the week. I pointed it out last night. This is about as good of a matchup as you can get. Washington is horrible against slot receivers. They were last year. They were in week one. Christian Kirk had 112 yards, I think. They were again in week two. Week one wasn't that great of a game for Amon Ra St. Brown. He hit some, I forget what it was, like 8 for 68 and a touchdown.
The usage was excellent.
It's the volume and the usage.
Yeah, I love him. I just don't know if he's like a top five guy, but I don't know if he's a top 12 guy, but I would say he's definitely top 18, and I completely regret not having him. But I do think this may have been one of the best matchups for a slot receiver.
If Washington this usage sucks. Continues, though, there's almost no way he can't finish in the top 12 if it continues.
Yeah. Drake London and Chris Olave we've hit on, but I think they're both guys who haven't quite broken out, maybe in the way Garrett Wilson did with a two-touchdown week yet. And the usage suggests that they could, and they're really exciting prospects. Rashad Bateman, he's not running all the routes. He's only been in, I think, running around on like two-thirds of Baltimore's dropbacks through the first two games, which I think will increase. And his per route numbers have been really good. He was really, really good in college when we saw him finally get the wide receiver one role. And I think it's possible that he is somebody who's a little bit undervalued, even though he's been, producing. I think it could get even better. And then the last one I bring up is Jacoby Myers. His per route data is insane. There's only like seven or eight guys who have a higher target and yard per route run rate than Jacoby Myers. Like, and we've seen this from Jacoby before, and it's not that exciting, but like they're throwing a little bit more and his rates are better. He continues to get better each year. He's completely dominating the volume. Like Devontae Parker's barely involved at all.
Yeah, which is really surprising. Yeah, I think two guys on a higher end that look like they could have special seasons are Javonte Williams and DeAndre Swift. And both of them need to sort of come out of their committees a little bit. But Swift is just so good right now. I mean, he has a 50-yard run in each of his first two games and a 20-plus yard catch in each of his first two games. He barely played in week two, and he was incredible. So I'm hoping that they can give him the work that he needs to be amazing and that he can stand up, that he can withstand the workload.
And if you want a little piece of data to back up the potential Swift being the next breakout here, the Lions are averaging, this is one of the most insane stats of the season so far, 3.8 yards before contact, the Lions offensive line. 3.8, that's insane. That's unheard of type numbers. That offensive line, I've been watching some of the film on them. They're playing so well in unison. They've had to put some different guys, like they've had to put backups in they weren't expecting. Didn't skip a beat. They have the best center in the NFL, in my opinion. They also potentially are, Penei Sewell is soon going to be one of the best tackles in the NFL. He's on that trajectory. So, yeah, just keep an eye on that. That offensive line right now is playing better than anyone in the NFL in the run game by far.
And Frank Ragnow didn't even play in week two, did he?
He didn't play in this game, right. They had to go with a backup in this game.
Right. Yep. They don't think it's a long-term issue. All right, from next topic from Ramon Odisho. Why wasn't Cooper Kupp number one overall in everyone's preseason rankings? Do we put too much stock in having to get an RB1 and in our abilities to predict who the tier one running backs will be? Wide receivers just seem to be much more consistent and reliable. I think Dan Schneier is dying to get in here. Go ahead. What do you think?
That's just me clapping in the background here. I had Cooper Kupp as a wide receiver one, and I said he is worth the first overall pick in a PPR league. We look at last season, Adam and Jacob, and it's just amazing to me that he can draw that kind of target share, be utilized in the way that no coach utilizes a receiver. Like, this is the only, somewhat Deebo Samuel to some extent, but not with the same amount of volume. Sean McVay schemes Kupp open early and often in all three levels of the field and specifically in the red zone. And so he's just quite clearly the best receiver in the NFL for fantasy right now in my mind, and it's not even close. And Jefferson, you can put him up there, but I don't know if he's going to be able to do it at the same rate because they don't really design the offense for him. He had a great first game, but it's not the same way to design it for Kupp. So I think schematically speaking, I'm all in on Kupp. I agree with this take. I think you are fine to take receivers like Kupp and Jefferson in the first pick overall in a PPR league.
Yeah, it's fine, but I think, look, a game, he wasn't even that great in week two, and he still was good. But I think there were plenty of reasons to doubt that Cooper Kupp would be as good as he was last year. He probably won't be, 1,900 yards or whatever. But he had never done that before, and it was a pretty late breakout. Mm-hmm. And, if Jonathan Taylor yesterday was pathetic. They barely got him the ball. But I'm still, if I'm redrafting today, I'm still taking Jonathan Taylor over everyone else. And the reason is round three. I mean, round two, yeah. Round three. Look at who was drafted. Tyreek Hill was drafted at the end of round two. And Keenan Allen Brown. Was off to, I mean, I know Keenan Allen barely played, but he.
AJ Brown.
We like Mike Williams. Cortland Sutton's going to have a big year. It's just here so far through 2 weeks. If you look at the top 12 wide receivers per game, only four of them were round one or two picks. If you look at the top 12 running backs per game through two games, which is crazy, I know, to even look at such a small sample, seven of them were round one or two picks. It's about position depth, and you know, maybe Kupp is just the best player and that doesn't matter. But God, I just loved the wide receivers so much better in round three than I did the running backs. It wasn't even close.
It's the age-old debate in fantasy, the receiver versus running back, and position scarcity is the key reason that you're bringing up, Adam, and a big case can be made that that's the key reason you should be going running back. Also, if you look at some of the winning teams over the last 5 years, it is usually the team that does find the Jonathan Taylor of last year, for example. Yes. But having said that, there were a lot of winning teams with Cooper Kupp last year. There were a lot of winning
rosters.
He was drafted
in the fifth round.
True, he was drafted later. Same goes for Kelsey. He was on a lot of winning rosters last year. But the other side of that argument, which is always the sticking point for me, is the anti-fragility argument, because there's just such a greater chance of these running backs getting hurt than these wide receivers. And so for me, that's when I'm factoring in what I'm taking with my biggest capital, my first round pick, I'm looking at something like anti-fragility because I don't want to lose players for, I don't want to lose these players for games.
Anti-fragility?
Yeah.
That's a term?
Yeah.
Jacob, is that a term, Jacob?
Yeah.
Huh? That's not
schooled
a term.
Him That's right not on a term. Bang bang snap yes that was a snap yes.
Beyond the box score
you,
I love
this
it
is beyond the box score don't challenge me on beyond the box score you can challenge me on the mailbag never on beyond the
I
box
love
score.
It anti-fragility learning so much yeah okay who are some of the key injuries so far this year guys who are already hurt who played in week one and are already hurt Chris Godwin is one Keenan Allen is one
James Conner. We'll see where that goes, but so far, I mean, obviously Trey Lance, that was so disappointing for me.
Because when I looked at the round two and three wide receivers over the past like 4 or 5 years to see who was a better bet, the running backs or the receivers, 50% of the wide receivers had been busts. I think it was rounds two or three in a 12-team league, and 50% of them were total busts, like crap picks, and almost all of them were injury reasons. It wasn't performance with wide receivers. It actually shed some light to me that wide receivers are actually a lot more injury prone than we think. You know, at times it had been guys like Calvin Ridley last year. It was Odell Beckham had some seasons like that. I mean, obviously I'm more worried about running backs getting hurt. They get hit all the time, but wide receivers get hurt too, you know?
Yeah. It's just the rates are not totally equal. I know maybe in recent years you can look at some of the data, and I am pulling this out of my behind, as I don't want to bullet Jacob and curse on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
Have Adam rain down on me. But I think if we do dig back on this, we'll see that there is a much higher bust rate from an injury standpoint for those top-end running backs.
Yeah, I think so. All right, Jacob, let's try not to curse on this one. Everybody else will want to curse. Topic number three comes from Robert Thomas, our Facebook moderator. Make sure you join our Facebook group. Awesome, awesome group. Just friends hanging out, talking fantasy football. And Robert Thomas does an amazing job moderating that. But his question is, search Fantasy Football Today on Facebook. His question is, Broncos, .. Concern? Question mark.
It is going to be hard for me not to curse. Jerry Jeudy comes out in week two after looking excellent
Jerry
week
Jeudy.
One.
There you go.
He draws a target on 3 of 5 routes
I
run.
Know.
They're just going to him immediately, and he's going to dominate Houston, like, of course. And then, like, he goes down and Cortland Sutton proceeds to do what he does when Judy's not in the field, which is ball out. And like, it's just frustrating as somebody who's been so excited for Judy.
Same.
And told everyone that like, he's the guy, like Sutton is really good, but like, I think Judy's the one at wide receiver one. I think that's true. And hopefully Judy comes back. But like, if he's out, like Sutton's going to continue to ball out. Like his splits without Judy are really good. And I mean, KJ Hamler's out too. And Albert O is doing nothing. Like it's Sutton and Javonte.
Right, but but people are freaking out. A lot of football fans think that Russell Wilson is, I hate
washed.
The word. Yeah, but they should say washed up, of course, because washed isn't a real term. Wash is what you do to laundry. But they think Russell Wilson is not that good anymore. There was a Denver Post headline that said, Thank goodness Russell Wilson grabbed the wheel of clown car from clueless Broncos coach Nathaniel Hackett. That was a Denver Post headline. They are having trouble breaking the huddle early enough. Their fans are counting down the play clock for them.
Yep.
They are out of sorts for sure. They look like they have a rookie head coach. I want to be optimistic. And I want to be optimistic because I was so optimistic in the preseason. I don't want to be blind to it, but I'm still optimistic. The biggest trouble here for me, they have Russell Wilson has the second most red zone, and he's tied for the most green zone pass attempts. Green zone is, for me, inside the 10-yard line. He has not thrown a touchdown in the green zone. There are six quarterbacks with 10 to 12 green zone pass attempts. Wilson's one of them. They all have three touchdowns from that range, three or more, except for Wilson. He has zero. They are eighth in the NFL in yards per play, eighth in yards per game. They are like 25th in points per game, 26th in points per game. So they cannot finish a drive. The play calling is very suspect. Hackett himself called himself out. Dan, overall, your concerns about the Broncos offense?
Yeah, so for me, I have a lot of short-term concern with the Broncos offense. I think it can eventually get figured out, but what we're seeing is exactly what you just said. An offense that's in disarray, it's a new head coach trying to install a system that, quite frankly, is so different than anything Russell Wilson's played in during his career with the Seahawks. That means not only means the typical things you have to learn, the new terminology, but you also have to just learn a totally different set of philosophy for how to run an offense. Throw in all that, they've had an insane number of injuries at receiver. That's screwing up the timing and the chemistry between Russell Wilson and receivers, not just from on the field when he throws the ball to them and they have to be in the right spot to where he's trying to throw the ball. It's things like you said, lining up right, getting them ready before the snap, getting the snap called before, you know, the play clock winds down to 5-3-4-2 and the defense can jump it and figure out how to time the snap. All of those issues are going to be there because Tim Patrick's done for the year. Jerry Jeudy's now a little hurt. They're not utilizing any of the other guys. You said Hamler's hurt. They're throwing to running backs and Sutton, and that's not a way to run an offense. It's going to take time here. They have a coach who I don't believe in, to be quite frank. And I do have some short-term concern for this, especially because you bring up a stat about Russell Wilson that his entire career, he's been a plus red zone passer. Right. Now, all of a sudden, he's one of the worst in the NFL at that. So, or at least through these 2 weeks. And the worst part about all this, Adam, for me is he hasn't had tough matchups.
I know.
The Seahawks are going to be a really bad defense this year. So are the Texans eventually. They may not be as bad as people think, but eventually they will be. Anytime you have Lovie Smith running a defense in 2022, it will eventually be one of the worst in the NFL. So, ultimately, it's just the truth. Look at it. But it's a harsh truth, but we'll see if that plays out. But anyway, yeah, I have a lot of short-term concern there, Adam. And long-term, I feel like they can get it together, but because they'll eventually learn the offense. It'll eventually, the timing will get better, all things of that nature. But right now, I definitely have some concern.
I don't think their schedule is that tough, though. I mean,
right.
San Francisco, Vegas, Colts, Chargers, that's tough. Jets, Jaguars, Titans, Raiders, Panthers, it's really not that bad. I don't know. I mean, I'm just like, okay, Russell Wilson has had a couple of almost touchdowns, right? Cortland Sutton almost came down in bounds.
Yeah.
They had a play. They've had a few plays in the red zone against Seattle that were, you know, close. So, I got into a debate with Heath on HQ this afternoon, Carson Wentz or Russell Wilson rest of season. He said he'd take Carson Wentz. That was before the good news on Jerry Jeudy came out. I don't know how he feels, if he feels differently now. Jacob, who would you rather have rest of season, Wilson or Wentz?
I'd rather have Russ. I think the points that you brought up on a team level, especially with like just the touchdown regression that's likely to come on those red zone throws, are good ones. And I think that like the offense is going to bounce back. They're throwing at above average rate on first downs in neutral situations, which is something I was hoping to see them play with pace. We've seen that a little bit. I think this pass offense would be better unless Russ like truly is washed, but that would be a surprise after what we saw last year.
Washed up. Yeah. AJ Johnson says, Dan talking a lot of forbidden Jacob word about Lovie
Smith. I stand by it, AJ. This man, Lovie Smith, once made me feel like I'm a Wisconsin Badgers fan. I finally felt like we had a 5-star recruit, Graham Mertz, his first start every threw for 5 touchdowns against Lovie Smith defense that was literally running the entire game, a strict cover 2 zone. And so after that game, and then Graham Mertz has been awful since. After that game, I decided that anyone who runs into that Lovie Smith defense can look like an all-pro. And so you'll see. Just wait for it.
Yeah, by the way, single coverage with Derek Stingley on Cortland Sutton for a decent chunk of that game.
A rookie.
Not a great. I mean, good for Stingley for fighting, but, not a great. He also got hurt, Stingley. He got hurt late in that game. Yeah. Lewis George, topic number four, Toy Story. Your old favorites like Woody completely replaced by shiny new toys like Buzz. Who is hanging on and who is in the yard sale? See, Terry McLaurin, Zeke, Devontae Smith. Mm. Devontae Smith doesn't quite fit that, but yeah, Dan, what do you think? You got a friend in me. What do you think about this question here?
I love when you break out into like the song version. The Adamays are singing the songs and he always you're actually pretty good with it. That kind of sounded like whoever sings that song.
Randy Newman sounds like Randy.
Is that the same guy who does the Short People song? I love the Short People song.
I don't know.
Got no business. I think it is. somebody for that. But as far as like a few good ones are brought up. Maybe someone could say Michael Carter, if Breece Hall fits the bill, just based on expectation. I don't know. I think that one's a little bit of a stretch. I'm trying to think of some other ones that we can go. I'm just going through the games right now.
If Devontae counts, if first, like second year player counts, sure, then you could throw Elijah Moore and Kyle Pitts into that group. They've essentially been kind of replaced by London and Wilson, it looks like.
Kyle Pitts, don't even get me started.
I know. Yeah, it's super sad. Adam Heath and I talked this offseason about some historic, underlying data for Elijah Moore, Pitts, and Jalen Waddle, and how that would translate this year with, the shiny new toys. And of that group, Waddle's the only one who's been able to sustain those rates, with Tyreek Hill there, which is just really, really impressive what we've seen from him.
I think a lot of that just comes down to coaching, like McDaniel scheming Waddle open versus whatever the hell is going on in Atlanta with Kyle Pitts. Yeah. This is just unexplainable and unacceptable, to be completely honest. You have an unbelievable mismatch and this is all you can get out of him. But I think that's a great point. Drake London is potentially right now before our eyes taking over that number one target hog role away from Kyle Pitts, which no one expected.
Yeah, it's two games. I'm not quite ready to say that Drake London will lead the team in receiving. Sure. At least maybe not from this point out. I feel like Pitts is just too good. He'll get open, I'm hopeful. McLaurin definitely is. We talk about it a lot. He's good. He's good. He's not bad. You don't have to trade him away or anything like that. But I think there are too many mouths to feed. How much do you guys, real quick, we'll go to our last one after this. How much do you believe in Carson Wentz? And maybe not. How much do you believe in the passing offense? Because the concept of them having a terrible defense and throwing a ton, it's not the worst concept in the world here. It could help, but I still think. Sam Darnold averaged almost 300 yards per game in the first four games of last season.
Sure.
Wentz is better than that, but I still think he's going to be pretty disappointing at the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it would be no surprise for it to fall apart for Wentz, but what we have seen at the team level is exciting to how often they're passing. We had over 50 routes run for Jahan Dotson last week, more than any player in the NFL. And there is so much opportunity. If the defense is going to be this bad, the offense is going to play this fast and pass as often as they are, which could change if Brian Robinson gets back and they have more of what they wanted to have going into the year. I'm not sure. With the way things stand right now, it's pretty exciting, especially for Samuel, who's getting the volume right now, Curtis Samuel. And McLaurin, I just wanted to point out that this is kind of the role that he was using in college. Is more of just a field stretcher and not someone who draws targets at a really high rate. He actually is a rare player in that he started drawing targets at a much higher rate once he got to the NFL level. And now we're seeing him on a more complete team where he can, be used as the guy who stretches the field for underneath options. And it's possible that that's kind of the role he's going to settle into, which will make him more inconsistent on a week-to-week basis, but definitely upside with it still.
How Jacob broke that down. Oh, just to add one thing to it. I don't believe in Carson Wentz in real life. I do kind of believe in him in fantasy, and mostly because of Scott Turner, the coordinator running that offense.
Yeah. Very pass heavy. Okay, from BBB Go Blue, our last topic. Topic number five, Tom Brady. I knew this week would be rough for Tom Brady, but what about moving forward? Is he a buy low? I will amend the question. Dan, who's a better buy low, Tom Brady or Russell Wilson?
I actually think Russ might be the better buy low here. It sucks because I waited a while to get Tom Brady. I finally got a big share of him in a big league this year, and I almost now want to trade him away. I'm mostly concerned for me about this Donovan Smith injury. If they don't have Donovan Smith out there on an island and they have to completely adjust their protection like they did this week against the Saints, it's going to get really ugly, and it's going to continue to be really ugly there, especially when he loses all the continuity that he's had at the wide receiver position. If this Godwin injury lingers, if this Julio injury lingers, I think they'll get it going just like the Broncos eventually. The schedule does get easier too at some point, but if these injuries continue to rack up on the offensive line, specifically if Donovan Smith can't play for an extended period, that's when I start to panic here.
To me, it's more about the receivers. to say that he was going to have a good game in New Orleans, where he never has a good game, without Chris Godwin, without Julio Jones, and then Mike Evans gets thrown out, there's no chance. I think when his receivers are back, he's going to be fine. I'd rather buy low. I think on Brady, because I still think he's a high-end elite quarterback, and while I don't think Russell Wilson is terrible or washed up, I did watch all of his throws from last week, and I do think, you know, just I'm not sure that he's the same player he used to be. Yeah. I have some doubts.
And Brady layered one of the best throws of the day this week. The touchdown he threw was unbelievable. It was one of the best single throws by any quarterback. He still has the arm talent. He still has everything that he showed last year. But I wonder, Jacob, if you can shine some more light on this. But I feel like the changeover from having Arians there last year as a coach to now turning the offense fully over to Byron Leftwich, I feel like they've gone more run heavy. Maybe that is.
Oh yeah, I've got all the stats, but I'll let Jacob go for it.
And that scares me, because they were just one of the key values of having Brady in that entire offense was that they were just insane at taking vertical shots downfield. They did it early, they did it often, they didn't care what time of the game it was. Yeah. They were taking shots, and so that might scare me more than anything.
Yeah, so they're 31st in dropback rate on first downs, 32%. Yeah. The only team that's lower is San Francisco at 29%. The league average is 52%. They're at 32. That's not good. And then in neutral situations, they're below the league average as well. I want to say 54, 55%. The league average is 63% of the time they drop back for a pass. Tampa Bay is much lower than that. In the past, we've seen them be on the other end of the spectrum where they're very high. It's only two games. So what I would say is that there's significantly more upside with Tom Brady. If this turns around, if we see them get back to what we've seen in the past, if the offensive line, you know, kind of comes together and these receivers aren't hurt, Chris Godwin looked pretty good when he was out there in week one and looked really good at the end of last year. Mike Evans has looked good. Right. Julio Jones has looked much better than we expected. The other difference between these two is if these guys go down, there's still really pretty good pieces in Tampa Bay. Whereas like Russ is throwing to no one when Jerry Jeudy's off the field and KJ Hamler's off the
field. Sutton, baby.
And no one else.
Yeah, no one else. Yeah. Right. They do have
running backs. Javonte Williams.
You would have been so proud of me, Jacob, man. I went through all the first down data. Right now, Tom Brady is 24th in the NFL in first down pass attempts. Last year, he was second. Right now, Leonard Fournette is tied for Saquon Barkley for the second most first down carries behind Joe Mixon. And he's second overall in carries, just in overall carries. Last year, Fournette averaged 12.9 carries per game. This year, 22.5 carries per game. And he leads the NFL with 22 carries in the first half. So it's not just they're killing the clock at the end or anything like that. I mean, they are running the ball. And I don't think Fournette can hold up like this 22 carries per game. So what happens if he misses some time? There will be more throws for Tom Brady, but
I think so.
I do think the offensive philosophy is a little bit, the team philosophy is going to be different without Arians, and I think that caps Brady's upside a little bit, if not a lot. However, I still think this is really important. If you're the Dak Prescott manager, you're the Trey Lance manager, if you're really struggling at quarterback right now, I think Brady and Wilson personally are very good buy lows. And, you know, I think we all said Brady over Wilson.
No, I actually
you said, oh, that's right. Brady. You said Russ. I'm sorry. All right, so you could consider it. But you could wait probably another week for Tom Brady because he's not going to have Evans.
Right.
I don't think he's going to have Godwin. I don't know if he's going to have Julio.
Yeah,
he's probably not going to do so well against Green Bay this week.
Might not have Donovan Smith either.
Might not have Donovan Smith. Fun show. All right. Beyond the box score.
I can't believe I found out just now that you're a data instead of a data guy.
Me?
No, that was Azer who said it.
What's his name in Goonies? I think it's data.
It's also such a good opportunity for you to come up with, you know, you have the Azer stats, the Azer data. It sounds great. Azer data. You know?
That's not a bad, right? But that's not my thing, really. That's your thing. That's you and Jake.
I don't know. You got first down stats.
Yeah.
Now.
You're ripping off first down stats now. Who knows? It's a whole new world.
Sub-Zero. Okay. So who's your favorite Mortal Kombat character? That's our YouTube poll. Sub-Zero, 44%. Scorpion, 37%. Johnny Cage and Liu Kang. Yeah. The hardest part of this poll is picking the four characters. Yeah. You know, you did a very good job. I think that's who would be like next best. I kind of liked Raiden.
Yeah, he's really cool.
It's Cage for me just because he had that line about the sunglasses that I love as a kid.
What was the line?
I can't say it because it involves a curse.
Yeah, we can't talk about Mortal Kombat on this show.
A much better movie than Double Dragon, I will say that. Double Dragon, worst movie ever made. And we will end the show. It is the worst movie ever made. We will end the show on that note, thanks for watching, everybody. For Jacob and Dan, this is Adam. We have gone beyond the box score. Tagline coming next week.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.